DW.
How is the COVID-19 pandemic threatening progress made in sexual and reproductive health care in Africa?
We are in very difficult times, especially when it comes to sexual and reproductive health for young people. Ordinarily, this is an area that is challenged by many circumstances, but the COVID-19 situation comes in to compound the problem. Our health system is not very much developed, and so the increasing number of people who need attention and services for COVID-related challenges have completely overrun the health facilities. This means that the facilities are struggling to cope with the influx of patients. And to deal with this situation, the government has instituted various mechanisms that were aimed at alleviating the challenge. And one of these is moving budgets from critical areas, as well as redeploying health workers to respond to the crisis. This therefore means sectors such as reproductive health have been left vulnerable. Already their situation was dire because there is hardly ever enough budgetary allocation for family planning and related services. But now even the little that is available has been moved in a bid to cope.
Why have these issues of sexual and reproductive health been put on the back burner? Why is there no urgency to address that, given that this puts everyone at risk of sexually transmitted infections, unwanted pregnancies, women aren't able to get a good education, etc.?
In times of crisis, sexual reproductive health is not a priority. People think of all manner of things. People think of food, non-food items. They think of soap and all these other things in a crisis, but hardly do people think about sexual reproductive health issues. Yet we know that that is one thing that does not stop even when people are under duress. So that basically is the core of the whole problem. But then I would also dare say that ordinarily sexual reproductive health is not a topic that has been prioritized in many, many of our development plans. You'll find we are talking a lot about the need to invest in education, and we are making sure that there's free primary education. We are making sure there's free secondary education. We are making provisions for tertiary education and encouraging numbers in that sector. But we hardly look at the flip side of the thing and say, what is stopping then children from accessing the free primary that we've made available? So we don't address their need to access information around their sexuality so they can stay in school. We don't address the need for them to access education and information on their sexuality so that they can make informed choices. So the fact that we don't prioritize SRH information and services is also part of the bigger problem that we are now seeing. There's no prioritization of this in this COVID-19 moment. It also matters who is at the decision-making table. And this could be one of the bigger conversations that we need to have when we're talking about women's empowerment and women's rights. If at the decision-making table in a county, the governor is a man, the deputy governor is a man, the minister for health is a man, the chief officer who is responsible for health is a man, do they at any one moment imagine they should be worried about family planning? Because of the lack of presence of women's voices at decision-making table, it then follows that those priorities will not find their way onto the discussion. The same way for young people. Hardly do you find young people in those decision-making spaces, and therefore their needs become second class.
Is it still deemed a taboo for women to be in charge of their own bodies, to have the right to decide what to do with their lives?
Taboo not, maybe, but it is an uncomfortable conversation in many of the communities that we work in. Women's sexuality in a number of communities is a topic that is not discussed. So whether it is because it is a taboo, or whether it is perceived as an issue, or whether it is perceived as less important, the point is it is something that significantly affects how women enjoy their sexual reproductive rights. And some of the reasons why there is discomfort around it or quiet around it is for the very reason that women are not perceived as, first of all, the conversation is not emanating from a rights perspective. So when you talk about sexuality in many of the communities, we are not talking about it as a right. So therefore, it becomes very easy for people to now find fault when you talk about the need for women to have bodily integrity and autonomy and all of these things that we talk about. DW.